Mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And wherever you're listening from, thanks for joining me today. So today we're going to be talking about dreams and past life trauma. We have today's guests, Krista Lancaster and Mark Bregman, on the show. Welcome. Hello.
Thank you. Hi, Marie. Thanks for having us.
Marie. Hi, Mark. So you're the authors of Flesh Off the Bone, Dream Descent Through Past Life Trauma. How did you two get connected and decide to write a book together?
Yeah, what a story. Well, we were colleagues for many years, and before that, way back when I was about 29, many moons ago, I showed up in Vermont looking for, guidance in transformation, and I found Mark. So I worked with him. He was my analyst, and then I became an analyst too, and then we created a kind of group process and organization around the dream work. But we were married to other people and had, we were colleagues. And 4 years ago, when our romance blossomed, when we were both single, we started having a very particular and explicit past life dreams. And it was such a profound invitation to heal trauma that we hadn't even known we had, but although we had symptoms of trauma, we hadn't known where it was from, that we decided kind of in the first year or two of our romance to delve in and write about our experiences because they were so deep and so profound. And so we really got into it fully, and our dreams gave us the direction. So we sort of followed as they told us, you know, what we had to open up to and how.
Thank you. Mark, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, the therapy itself, which started about 45 years ago, is basically loosely based on Fritz Perls. And his work was basically looking, he didn't do dream work, but in family constellations and things like that, his basic premise was that everyone in your life was a reflection of you, things in yourself. People you don't like were a reflection of things you like about you or that were in you that you didn't want to look at. So that's sort of how the methodology of dream interpretations was, based loosely on Fritz Perls, and the idea that everyone, the dream is part of your theater. And rather than interpreting the dream as such, or there is a certain intellectual understanding of dream story and the mythos of dreams, the ultimate confrontation with self is to face what Carl Jung would call the shadow, which means facing into the parts of yourself that in a dream, you know, you react to, but actually are part of yourself. So the process of group work, and we do one-on-one work as well, was really acting out those parts. And what emerged out of that was a deepening of the journey, because once you confront yourself in that way, Carl Jung's Red Book and the Real Mystery of the Dreams could open up, which was transformation, and he called that alchemy. So that was like 40 years in the making, working with that and writing books on it and working with many, many persons. Organization has probably 300 people in it who are doing the dream work at this point. But yes, as Christian said, in the last couple of years, the idea of past life only began to emerge, that a lot of the things that we thought were metaphorical of inner processes some of those were actually lived experiences from past lives. At least that's the theory. You don't have to believe that, but it's certainly, when you understand that, that, my goodness, my behavior really goes back to something else that happened, some trauma that affected my belief or emotional basis for how I approach reality, seemed to have tremendous healing acceleration, just knowing it at when the dream is ready to show you that.
Thanks, Mark. And so I'm curious, how do you know, or what makes you believe that these dreams are evidence of past lives?
Well, we call it regressive dreaming, in the sense that the dreams that have period placements, such as you're wearing certain types of clothing, and the repetitive, and there are certain scenes in it that usually are traumatic scenes. It's not like you see yourself, you know, being a barber or being, you know, walking down the road. It's usually something terrible has happened that froze that moment as a memory. The question of whether it's actually a past life or not, even if you were to say those particular dreams, these regressive dreams, actually aren't past lives, they're just a metaphor to help you delve into your trauma, that would be fine, too. It isn't like you have to believe it. But the experience of living the dream in emotional level, I guess that's the thing we haven't really talked about. It isn't just about the story or the mythos or the metaphor, or is it really a memory? It's the feeling that these images evoke that is really the true journey of transformation. That is the healing of pain and trauma, the ultimate healing, meaning the emergence of love in the place of trauma.
Thanks, Mark. Do you have anything to add to that, Krista?
I think maybe a specific example might be helpful for your listeners. So I had never had a past life dream until, several years ago, when I started to have dreams of villages being destroyed and myself wandering in kind of a devastated landscape. And so the dreams began that way for me, to open me up to the idea of some devastating loss. So even though I didn't know what it was specifically, I started to open up to those feelings of what it felt like to be walking in a devastated landscape. And as I've never lived in this life in a war-torn landscape, or never known kind of extreme brutality or traumatic circumstances, it was a new step in my descent into my own soul. And you know, as that went along, I began to have more specific dreams set in medieval Europe.
And I wanted to say, you did have a lot of fear experiences.
I had a lot of dreams that opened me up to fear.
You were a fearful person.
I was a very fearful person. So I had all this fear, but I never really, quite honestly, knew why. And so I worked through the usual, family stuff, and still I had night terrors. I would wake up screaming in the night. And it was inexplicable to me until I began to have these dreams. And I so resonated with the experience of being in this war-torn, you know, absolutely devastated landscape. And it sort of broke me open to tremendous feelings of pain and loss. And then I started to have these sort of dreams that got even more specific, because they were really set in medieval France, to be exact. And finally, you know, the dreams led up to being in the fire. You know, I had always thought I had dreams of watching people be burned in medieval times. And I thought, oh, okay, my trauma consists of witnessing people die in an excruciating way. So I thought, well, okay, that was enough. But then as I progressed and I went along, I still had the PTSD symptoms. So it wasn't until sort of one Halloween night that I had a dream actually on that night, of myself being in asphyxiated by smoke. And the next day I said to Mark, I really need some help. Can you, I'm triggered into this feeling of not being able to breathe. And he said, honey, I want to tell you something you probably don't want to hear, which is, you know, you probably were burnt. And in that moment, I felt the truth of it. It wasn't something intellectual or, you know, abstract. I felt the truth of it. And in that moment, I experienced a shift. And from that time on, I didn't have trauma symptoms again in that way. So it had broken, you know, but I mean, it wasn't that it happened just in that moment, but I had been led through my dreams to learn how to feel more and more intense feelings so that I could, in a way, hold that experience and know it was about the past and also have a conscious foot in the present.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And so I'm curious, where does one start if they want to get into dream analysis? Because you said that you had never had a past life dream before, but we have lots of dreams that we don't even remember.
Right. Well, the great thing to do is, you know, if you want to remember your dreams, is to just have the pen and pencil and the pad by your bed and start writing them down, and you'll remember them. And how we begin, you know, when I'm working one-on-one with someone, you know, someone comes with three or four dreams and we begin. And, you know, I ask a lot of questions about what all the parts of the dream mean for that person. So there are no real generic solutions or definitions. You know, everything that's constructed within the theater of your own dream world is your personal iconography. And so you build a language and understanding that means what it means to you. So it's extremely personal. Of course, you know, there are universal themes of loss and fear and grace and joy and insecurity, but all of our stories are particular, and the way that we travel through our experience to return to the wound, as Mark was describing, where in which moment we had to separate from ourselves. So in a way, what we're talking about is the journey, nothing short of back to our original soul, intact souls.
Right. The dream tries to dismantle us. Because when we look out of our eyes every morning and we live through our day, you know, we're just spinning through time. We don't really, the dream forces us to stop and look at where we are in ourselves, how we're experiencing ourselves from a sensuality, intellectual place, or feeling sensual place. And the dream stops time or asks us to examine the spinning of our day. And as the dream helps us to dismantle by going deeper into our feelings that actually are underneath the spinning of our minds, you know, I mean, the Buddhism talks about this and a lot of things. But what they don't really talk about and what dreams really address is the emotional life that lives underneath the surface of our consciousness. And that's unfortunately very unpleasant.
Not always.
Right. But it's unpleasant to a point in which you have to feel into some losses. The other side of it, like Chris is saying, is about the love, that loss and love are the same thing. If you don't feel loss, you can't really feel healed and love. If you don't feel fear, you really can't feel a joy, except in some false, you know, sense. So we're missing out on the consciousness of the deeper feeling self that the dream wants to bring us to.
Yeah, the feelings themselves, Marie, are the medium in which we move through to heal on a spiritual, emotional, and physical level. So the dreams ask of us to open up to feelings that, as Mark is saying, we don't necessarily want to open up to, because maybe we just have an aversion, or the ego works very hard to sort of set up a structure so that we don't have to feel something difficult, you know, like an extreme loss or something horrifying or just something, you know, that we're not equipped to feel at maybe perhaps a tender age as a child. And so the dreams actually help to peel back the sort of obstruction, you know, the kind of structure that grows over, or like, you know, like brambles or like Sleeping Beauty.
Adult consciousness.
Yeah, this kind of adult ego mind that creates a structure so we can function. And what we're really wanting to convey and hope people get excited about hearing is that the dreams actually know how to prune back all the brambles around the sort of soft, tender underbelly of who we really are. And not only that, they give us the support. So I sort of gave a little mini version of what it was like to encounter a past life dream of inquisitional burning. But what I haven't said yet is that I had dreams of inordinate love and great compassion that came to support me to be able to open up to that kind of devastating fear. So we're never kind of just sent off, you know, by our dreams, go feel this trauma. We have this very exquisite and personal preparation. And once there, the reason why we go there is really to have a transformative experience, to open back up to the sort of innocent soul self that can know love.
Thank you. Well, I'm curious, I wanted to ask you, are you open to doing a mini dream interpretation over the phone if anyone is brave enough to call up with one?
Oh, yeah, we've done that many, many times, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, it is time for a break now. And where can people get your book, Flesh Off the Bone, Dream Descent Through Past Life Trauma?
Well, you can go to our website, which is northofeden.com, and you can also buy that book on Amazon.
Flesh. And many other books we have.
And our other books, too, yeah. But Flesh Off the Bone you can get on Amazon or go to our website at northofeden.com.
I also want to throw in that we go to Hollyhock, which is what's the island? Cortez Island. Yeah, every year. And the next retreat up there that we're going to be at is October 13th to the 18th of this year. So we're in your neck of the woods every year. And if for those that want to sign up and so forth, they can do it on our website.
Awesome. And that's at the northofeden.com site?
That's right. Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, we will be back with more synchronicity in a moment. Right now we are speaking. Oh, I'm going to put out the phone number with the cue to call, 604-822-2487. If you have a dream that has been plaguing you or just making you feel curious, give us a call, 604-822-2487. And Mark and Krista can give it a listen and tell you what they think. 604-822-2487. We are speaking today with Mark Bergman and Krista Lancaster. They are authors of Flesh Off the Bone, Dream Descent Through Past Life Trauma. And I am your host, Marie Bernard. We'll be back with more synchronicity in a couple minutes.
You know, there's nothing sexier than voting on a hot summer day. Be sure to vote in the 40th Provincial General Election, Tuesday, May 14th. For more information, go to elections.bc.ca. First I say no, I got some plans for tonight, and then I stop and say.
Another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
I'm Marie Bernard.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
212 Productions Limited, The Baker and the Chef, Bang on T-shirts, Bistrude Records, Dream Apparel and Articles for People, Dunleavy Snack Bar, The Fall Tattoo, Fortune Sound Club, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinema Think, Perch, Project Space, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. And if you would like to get on the air and ask Mark and Krista a question or have one of your dreams interpreted and analyzed right on the air, I know it'll take a lot of courage, but please do give us a call, 604-822-2487. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Hi. So I'm curious about, I can't really recall a specific dream that I want to ask you about, but what about recurring dreams?
Recurring dreams are extremely common because people generally don't work their materials. They don't really work the dream. So the dream keeps coming back, and sometimes multiply in the evening. Sometimes when you work with a client and they have a recurrent dream, recurrent theme, it's the same thing. We're not addressing it. I feel like if I see the dream over and over, like I'm missing something that the dream's intending to show. And so I just have to find another way to look at it. Because once you understand the dream's intention and the person works through that, then the dreams go deeper and the story and the journey goes further.
Well, I actually am recalling a recurring dream that I used to have when I was really little. It didn't really have any emotion to it. I was just in this black and white room with like a checkered black and white floor, and it was very bare. There might have been a chair in it, and if I touched anything, the room would kind of crinkle, so it was very texturized, but nothing really happened in it. What do you make of that kind of dream?
Well, there probably was a feeling. There probably is a feeling to it. I mean, not that we would talk about it now in front of everybody, but the idea of being in a black and white room where there's not a lot of feeling, it's a small, a small room, and generally that has to do with, it could be a kind of a Bardo dream where you're trapped in some mental function, not really in your soul, in your juicy energy. So it's a dream that's, in a way, showing you your affect is kind of, you're kind of like a prison, really. It's kind of like a prison, you're inside. I had a dream like that, too, of being in a dark room many, many years ago before I started the work, and everything was black, and it was just a little crack, and I'm glad to say that I'm not in that room anymore. But so the dreams can show us, like, our conditions, like, wow, this is, of course, the person working with you would show you, and you'd have to feel through it too, how that's true for you in your life, or true then. And also, you'll have comparative dreams, like you may have a girl jumping for joy, and or you're that girl, and then the dream analyst would have you compare that dream with this dream, so you could feel into the difference. But just generally speaking, a dream like that, and then it crinkles, like it contracts, like you can't really, you know, like it's reacting. So one might go down the road of wanting you to look at, do you crinkle if you get too close to certain feelings? So it's a starting point for sure. And in fact, because there are no feelings that you can feel, that shows that there's a lot of feelings that are held back from being in that place.
Well,
does that make sense, Marie?
No, maybe I didn't explain it correctly. It wasn't that there weren't any feelings. Like, it had this sort of, it was a big room, and it was fairly bright. It wasn't dark. It was just black and white, and so there was no color, and there were, like, checkers, and everything was very smooth. And then I would touch it, and it's almost like when you crinkle aluminum foil or something, where you just touch it and it sort of ripples, and not much happened in it. So there weren't any other people there. It was just, I don't even know if it was me there. I was just aware of this room, and but it was kind of an ominous sort of feeling, like almost like a hospital in a horror movie from the 50s or something, you know.
Pretty much what we're definitely on the right track there. And you are having feelings, like you said, it had a horrific sense to it. So, is a dream teaching you about something within you, some place within you that you may not be aware of even. That's how they are. They're always showing us things we don't know or we're not aware of.
Yeah, so the way of working with that dream would be to find out, you know, If we were sitting down and having a session, it would be like I would want to know more about, you know, where you had felt that dream, that feeling, that ominous sense in your life, and that's how it begins to open up. You know, we correlate the feeling in the dream with what the dreamer remembers. You know, how that might tap into something. It might just even just pop up in the moment. Oh yeah, I remember that period of my life or something like that. So even with a dream which seems abstract like that, it will open up to, you know, memories of different feelings.
Or even feelings or states of consciousness that you're having now.
Right.
In some cases.
Interesting. Well, as you were bringing up that, the memory of that feeling, it's hard. I mean, I don't have the dream anymore, and I just remember it from when I was little. I do remember having that kind of feeling the first time I ended up in foster care when I was 4 years old. I was living in this old house, and it was kind of ominous and creepy.
Foster care is a very traumatic experience for a child. So
yeah,
that carries the feeling of that you may have had. Well, you did have at the time. You may not have been aware of it, and you had it as a child. So right there, your psyche is teaching, showing you this is really a terrible thing that's happening. This is how we're feeling, how you're feeling right now, away from, you know, it with strangers and so forth. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, 604-822-2487 if you have a dream that you want to discuss with Mark and Krista, 604-822-2487. So what about now? I haven't, at least I don't recall having this dream for many, many years. So does that mean that I've processed through it?
Well, you have other dreams, and so we don't know. I couldn't make any statements about that feeling except that it's there at that time. And other dreams, if you were doing dream work, then that may pop up again in another dream, or maybe it's not with you now. So there's no way to know from one dream where you are today, but that's a great starting point, and subsequent dreams would give you a contact. It's kind of amazing, really, that you remember the dream from so long ago. I think that That's pretty incredible that you that stayed with you all this time.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy, and I would have it quite often. So, and right. I always wondered why. Yeah,
that's why it's certainly something that, to the degree that it's with you now, it would be one of the places that Jung talks about archetypes, the anima and the animus, and these are, I don't know how to really define them. Are they angels, whatever, but they're beings that would, they're the ones that do the healing of a wound. So this certainly was a wound from this life that unless you've done some really deep work with it, it's probably sitting there and waiting for, the dreams would guide you back to that and through other dreams of support, I would assume.
Yeah, and healing, because wherever there's a loss or a hurt or a trauma, the dreams will show us, will actually affirm for us that is so. If we can, obviously want to push unpleasant things away or hurtful things, and the dream will say, "No, you really, it really was ominous. It really was painful." And break, the sort of denial so that we can really re-feel that. And
right, because when those things there, they also keep back other feelings. Oftentimes, libido is in the form of joy and energy and other things that get also contracted over our lifetimes because of something that never was resolved. As we get older, we tend to get more and more apart from it and isolated from our... I mean, the real issue for dreams is to reach your soul. We all, the girl and the boy in the dream is you're always your soul, becoming your soul. So it's psychologically true, we want healing, but I also want to say before our time is up, I don't know how much time we have, but the whole point of dreams, from what we've learned, is to for the soul child that comes into dreams, for us to actually become that child who doesn't feel, has the memory of those feelings, but feels connected and supported in an extraordinary way, and for us to reclaim that. I think in movies that have been out, The Whale Rider and the other big one, The Beast of the Southern Wild, about the girl are really so important as to this, as to what dreams emerge. The soul is almost always in the form of the girl and sometimes a boy, and the basis for Carl Jung's Red Book, recently released 3 years ago, it's all about Salome, the girl of Carl's dreams, who reflects the true, clear, loving heart of a person. But where there's trauma, the heart is kind of shadowed over and darkened, and clearing that out, not just for the sake of healing, but for the sake of the reemergence of the soul. And quite frankly, I think Carl would say, if we all did that, we'd have a different world. He was a proponent of dreaming work and of reclaiming the soul through descent into the trauma.
Thank you. Well, and I'm curious now, I have two questions. First of all, do you need to hire an analyst to interpret your dreams, or can you figure it out on your own through journaling? And do you have a book that would help you do it yourself?
Well, we have a lot of books, about 8 of them, and they're all free to read on our website or to purchase on Amazon. Certainly one-on-one work, we teach, we have students who are learning it, we have a school and all this, all the things that go along with it. There's a lot of clients end up wanting to do the work for others, but the information's free, and you just, reading our materials and writing your dreams down, certainly, people do that. We've had people call us up and say that they do that, and they're so, yeah, it's information for everyone, and just understanding it and applying it how they would apply it is a revolution in the way dreams are currently looked at. So that's our number one thing, just to let everybody use it as they will. And then there's those people that might come to retreats and do one-on-one analysis and really want to get it in more precise way that we facilitate it. But absolutely, this is a time that we're living where people are doing a lot of self-help, and we're all for that. And there's some things we try to do to help. First of all, everything on our website's free, and we also have a dream, submit a dream, where for no charge you send in your dream, and we'll show you how we might look at it, and that might give you some understandings, even if you don't want to come in and do personal work for yourself. Oh, wow, that's how they would look at it, and that might give you some ideas in future dreaming. So we do everything we can to support folks. We have a lot of materials that are and class materials that we give away, or they're very low priced if you just wanted to, because all our classes are taped, and you can purchase that as well as our books. So the information is designed to be free for everyone, and just to take it and do what you want with it is certainly what we also encourage that.
Cool. Thank you. Well, it is time for a break now. And if you are listening and you happen to remember a dream that you want to ask Mark and Krista about, we are speaking right now. Oh, give us a call, 604-822-2487. We are speaking with the authors of Flesh Off the Bone, Dream Descent Through Past Life Trauma by Mark Bregman and Krista Lancaster. And you can find all that information that Mark just mentioned at their website, northofeden.com, as well. They're going to be at Hollyhock in October. Are you doing a workshop there, or do you just go to hang out?
Yes, no, we're going to do a retreat for 5 days, the 13th through the 18th, and we have at least two or three groups, and so the attention is very personal, and even though you're within a group process, you get a lot of time for your own dreams, and you get to experience and step into the theater of other people's dreams. And so there's tremendous support and energy to sort of delve deeper into what your dreams are wanting to open you up to.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, it is time for a break, so we will be back with more Synchronicity in a moment. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking right now with Mark Bregman and Krista Lancaster, authors of Flesh Off the Bone. Back in a moment.
Music, drumming, dance, transformation, an expression of the heart through voice, the heart opening to love, channeling of intention, kirtan community, yoga culture, bhakti, ancient traditions, modern environment, intentional community, the continuation of story, the ever-evolving mythology, reconnecting with the divine through voice, through song, through mantra, an exploration of chanting. Join us every Thursday at 4 p.m. on CATR 101.9 FM for Mantra. Or check us out on the web at mantraradio.co.
Weary of listening to Uncle's tired old war stories? Had enough of Zuzu's quest for father's favor? Do you want to hear tales worthy of the Fire Nation princess herself? Then tune in to Scald's Hall on CITR 101.9 FM and listen to the very best established and upcoming storytellers in the land. Do it, peasant, for your princess commands you.
Join us Fridays at 1 p.m. for the best in spoken word entertainment.
Ty Lee, you're not thinking of changing the dial, are you? That's better.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you can find me at spiritualshow.com, or you can find today's guests at northofeden.com. Welcome back to the show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We're here.
So we just have about 5 minutes left in the show before I play a meditation that I brought. So I'm curious, what are you most wanting readers to take from your book, Flesh Off the Bone?
Well, for me, that I would want folks to know that trauma can be healed and, in fact, is a portal to spiritual healing. And it's not something we have to hold shame about. It's a portal to the soul and great spiritual understanding. And I hope that our book would open that up for folks, that the very wound that we all want to avoid is actually the portal to amazing spiritual and emotional healing.
Yeah, I guess I will, of course, go with that. But since you got the better thing, I'll do the second thing. And you know, I'm sure what's the reason to care about any? You know, nobody knows me, but the book does. For me, it's a celebration of my life in the way that I've always been looking for this person and I never found this person. And so the one day I'm 41 years old, she walks through my door as a client. I said, that's her. And I didn't say anything, of course. We really believe that we had a past life similar together and, found their way back in this way. It's kind of bizarre. I don't know that that's common, but for me, it's a personal book. I've written several books alone and one with Krista that basically are textbooks. A lot of great textbooks, really wordy about the work. This is really a true account from our dreams about our love story, and that's a really personal story about that. But the work itself, we have other books, Sex Trauma, Pinyong Dio, and Secret of the Pomegranate, and Dreaming Metaphysical, and what was the other one, the first one?
The Deep Well tape.
So those are the textbook type ones that would reveal the nature of the work and how to do it.
And Marie, we're writing the next book, the sequel, Flesh on the Bone, which is what is life like when you go through the deepest trauma and come out? Because that's the whole point, is to go down in to come out and emerge and have a different life, not haunted by the terrible thing that happened to us.
That'll be out hopefully 2014.
Yeah, so stay tuned, folks. It'll be on our website. And we have a blog for it, Flesh on the Bone. So if you go to that blog, you can get a preview of why go into the deepest trauma to come out to reclaim, you know, the joy and the innocence of our child soul and to live from that state of grace.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. And everyone can go to your website, northofeden.com.
Thank you, Marie. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Appreciate
Take
it very
care.
Much. Hope to hear
thank you.
Us and on your show.
Pardon?
We'd love to come back, in other words. Thank you, Marie.
Wonderful. Thank you. Take care. Namaste. So again, that was Mark Bregman and Krista Lancaster. They are the authors of Flesh Off the Bone, Dream Descent Through Past Life Trauma, and you can find them at www.northofeden.com, where they have tons of free information, or you can also purchase their books, and they are coming to Hollyhock in October if you want to do a 5-day retreat with them. So again, go to their website, northofeden.com. I decided, I haven't really talked about Abraham Hicks much lately on the show because I haven't really been feeling that much. I don't know, I haven't really been feeling them lately, but I was listening to this meditation thing the other day about relationships, and I thought it was kind of cool. So I'm going to end the show with that. This is from their Vortex CD, Vortex Meditation CD of Getting Into the Vortex. And this is Abraham Hicks here on CITR.
Welcome. We are extremely pleased that you are here. It is nice to have this opportunity to visit about relationships. Breathe in. Breathe out. There is no subject of greater significance to you than relationships. For without others, you could not be you. Breathe in. Breathe out. The others with whom you share your planet are of tremendous value to you, even when you want different things. Your Earth environment is large enough to accommodate all of the variety of interests, beliefs, and desires. Breathe in. Breathe out. Your differences are of great advantage in the stimulation of new ideas and are important to your expansion. Breathe in, breathe out. You came here eagerly anticipating the expansion that would be born from your interaction with others. Breathe in, breathe out. When you understand the value of differing opinions, you will reap immediate value from every relationship. And since you cannot make them change to please you, appreciating them where they are will give you ease. Breathe in. Breathe out. Sometimes it seems like others have the power to negatively affect your experience, but that is never true. Breathe in. Breathe out. Only your response to them has the power to pinch you off from the naturally good-feeling person you are. Breathe in. Breathe out. Sometimes others believe that their happiness depends upon your response to them, but that is never true. If you encourage them to believe that and stand on your head to please them, you don't help them or you. Breathe in. Breathe out. When you expect another to succeed without the benefit of your help, you see them as their source sees them. Breathe in. Breathe out. When you believe another needs your help and you shore up their weakness with your strength, you help them not. Breathe in. Breathe out. When you look for another's strengths, even when they are hard to find, your attention to them amplifies them. And in time, because of the spotlight you have shined, those strengths will become apparent to others as well. Breathe in. Breathe out. When others lash out at you in anger, with words or action, their battle is not with you, but with themselves. Breathe in. Breathe out. If you do not take their behavior personally, understanding it is their personal battle, in time they'll leave you out of it. Breathe in. Breathe out. Sometimes you think it is important what others think of you, and so you work to extract approval from them. There is really little that you can do to keep their approval coming, for it is never about you, but about them. Breathe in. Breathe out. If you will release all concern about how others feel about you and focus only upon how you feel about them, you will unearth your core understanding of who you really are, and you will discover what true freedom really is. Breathe in. Breathe out. At your core, you are more alike than different, for you share a common thread of source and love and expansion. If you feel threatened by another, that threat is not real, for only you can stop the flow of your natural well-being. Breathe in. Breathe out. As you insist on looking for positive aspects in others, in time, only positive aspects can be shown to you. For you will have incrementally adjusted your vibrational point of attraction, and by law, that must be so. Breathe in. Breathe out. It is certain that you can find the relationships that you desire, but first, there is something very important that you must do. You must become a vibrational match to the qualities that you seek, because what comes to you always matches you. Breathe in. Breathe out. Focus on the best you can in others, And when characteristics you want are missing, practice seeing them anyway. When you practice the thoughts of the things that you desire, they must show up in your experience. It is law. Breathe in. Breathe out. You are doing extremely well. The relationships that you seek are flowing to you. Relax and enjoy the unfolding. Feel appreciation for what is and eagerness for what is coming. There is great love here for you. Breathe in. For the next few minutes, letting the music guide you. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and that was Abraham Hicks. That was from their Getting Into the Vortex meditation CD and guidebook. That was the Relationships Well-Being Meditation. So I hope that you enjoyed that. Coming up in just a couple minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chrisorific, so stick around for that. And as always, I want to send you lots of love and sparkles, and I hope that you have a wonderful week, and I will see you next week here on Synchronicity. So until then, be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
I will say B, Peru. I'll do it.
And that's your final answer?
Yes.
You could buy a new car. You just want...